Hey everybody, this is the Brew Showman and this is Crafted For You. Tonight we have two people that we've had numerous times on the podcast.
Am I not a host?
Oh. Yeah. You are a host. We have my co-host, Chris Nielsen.
Hello.
And then we have my lovely producer, fiance.
Hello.
Alyssa. And special guest tonight, we have Carly Ward.
Hey everybody.
She is the Beer Den Master?
The Beer Den Master, yep, at the Jamestown Beer Den at Lowe's Foods.
Very nice. So just tell us, how did you get into craft beer?
Well, my background is in promotional marketing with beer. And I'll be honest, a lot of the past 6 years of promotional marketing I did for big beer brands like Miller Coors and lots of their subsidiary 10th and Blake represented craft brands, we'll call them.
Blue Moon.
Yep, Blue Moon, Leinenkugel's, things like that. So that kind of was my introduction into like the craft beer world. And then as I started trying new things and just finding the passion for craft beer, I realized that I wanted something more true to craft beer and happened to stumble upon a posting for a Beer Den Master job.
Nice.
So when did your actual Beer Den open? And how did this, do you know like how this came apart? Like,
well, my Beer Den opened in July of this year. And this specialty department, the Beer Den with Lowe's Foods, is something that has been around for at least 2 years. The Clemens location and then the flagship store out on Robin Hood Road in Winston-Salem. Those beer dens have been around for a good while, and I had done my sampling events for those other brands and had my little table kind of in that beer den area, and it was always so, just, I'll be honest, it was so boring because I would be standing there with my little table with my, you know, Blue Moon, and nobody wanted to come talk to me. They all wanted to go see the Beer Den folks and have, like, whatever they had on tap. So that was kind of, like, my sign of, like, if I want to do something with this, like, let me get on the other side of that bar. And so that's kind of how I shoved myself into that world.
So I know we've talked about this before. So your store, so there's those stores have all been open for a while, but your store is relatively new, and you guys are number one in sales.
Yes, so right now there are just shy of 30 beer dens. A couple have opened since we grand reopened, and we have been able to maintain that number one spot in company sales. And it's really, you know, of course our location, we're right there where Greensboro, Jamestown, and High Point meet. We have a lot of great craft beer, you know, drinkers and people who really appreciate craft beers in that area. So, of course, location is huge for us. And then, too, we just love a good variety. We don't want to stick to too many similar styles. So I think our variety and our genuine enthusiasm for craft beer is why we have people, like, coming back to see us and taking our recommendations to heart.
And every time I go in there, everybody's super nice.
Oh, yeah, we're really genuinely happy to see you and to talk beer and do samples and just have a good time because, I mean, that's what, to me, beer is about.
I think that comes with the culture, though. People who are really enthusiastic and passionate about beer, usually you'll see it and they'll pass it along to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you think that opening or having other beer dens open before your store helped, like, the rise in, like, your success and keeping that number one spot, like, it generating the buzz and people, locals here being excited that there's a beer den?
Oh, absolutely. Because there were people that, when they saw the construction starting, even before the beer den was actually functional.
It was a mess.
It was a mess. Seeing that kind of hole in the corner of the store there, people were curious, and some folks that travel and work in Winston or have family out in Clemens or these other places where they've seen beer dens before, that definitely helped us because they knew what cool new specialty section was coming for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you were talking about keeping a good variety of styles on tap. Do you personally pick and make the schedule for that?
Yes. Now, as far as a schedule, we don't really have a schedule. Everything, every time we switch out a keg, it's all based on demand. So, you know, I'll get a couple of kegs of a single beer just to try to give it a longer life on tap in the beer den. But when we run out of something, we're going to move on to the next, you know, great beer. So as far as the variety goes, we have 8 taps in our beer den. We always keep a great IPA on of some kind. We always have, you know, a stout or a porter. Amber ales have been very popular with our guests. So
makes
we just try
good conversion
to,
beer
yeah,
too. Yeah,
exactly. And even having a lighter option, a wheat ale or blonde ale, something that we can pull from those folks that are just coming from that domestic side.
Right,
of the
right.
Cooler.
Well, what do you drink? I drink Blue Moon. Okay,
right,
I got you.
Yeah.
You're like this. Yeah.
Absolutely. And being able to sample and have the opportunity to say, like, you know, oh, that's what you usually drink. Well, here, try this.
Right.
See how this compares. It's definitely a great step in the craft beer journey that I feel like everybody will eventually get on.
Yeah. And I assume that you guys, people are probably pretty receptive to that. Like, do you convert people a lot?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, and people tend to come back and be really, like, willing to, like, try stuff and, like, because that seems like that would be the coolest part of the job to me, is being able to see people kind of like, oh, I don't know, and then, like, 6 months later, they're like, I want the blackest thing you've got. I want, yeah.
Well, that's, like, really the most rewarding aspect for myself personally, is being able to find that perfect beer for someone's taste. I have a couple of guests that, and they know who they are, who are very challenging and want to, you know, put me through the ringer and say, well, you know, I mean, everybody has their different tastes, but it's just absolutely a very rewarding aspect to be able to say, I helped this person find something that now they're telling all of their friends about.
Right.
And, you know, they just get super excited about.
Do you see people coming in there like, so-and-so told me I didn't come
here? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah, we get a lot of our guests will go and tell friends or take a growler to a party.
Yeah.
Even folks at work. Like, I have a couple of guys that all work together. Just word got around the office, and they all started to come see me. So
nice.
And it's cool. We have, like, the regular aspect as far as, like, any bar. You have your regulars. And it's really cool to be able to build the relationship with these guests.
Yeah.
And understand their taste and be able to anticipate what they will and won't like.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's always a really fun part.
That's awesome.
And pushing them to try new things too, because as much as I want them to have like a seamless transition, sometimes you just got to throw some crazy things
out. Well, sometimes
it's
too. It's like, look, you're gonna take this home. You're gonna drink the first one. You're not gonna like it. But before the growler's gone,
you're gonna love it.
Want more.
Yeah, exactly. That definitely will happen.
With the people that you usually convert, when you're looking at like your tap handles and you're trying to figure out what they like, what is usually like your gateway? Like, do you usually start like lighters, like, you know, like pilsners and stuff, because that's a lot like macro beers, or do you go like, because like most people like coffee and chocolate, do you try to pull that kind of thing?
Well, it's really a conversation that we have with every guest. So there will be times where, more often than not, I'll start my conversation with the guest with, what do you like to drink, or what do you have in the fridge right now? And, you know, if they, you know, are talking like a premium light or something, you know, and then we say we have a Pilsner or Blonde or, you know, something lighter, easier, we're absolutely going to start there. But some people, too, they'll come by and they'll just say, I just like a good lager. They don't really know what brand or, you know, they just want to generically say, like, I just like this, I think. And we just run with it. So typically it's a lot of starting folks off with the Pilsners, the wheat ale, something with a smoother finish there. But we definitely have folks that might say, well, I'm a coffee drinker and, and I like, you know, something like richer, fuller bodied. And so we'll go there. And even if they don't really know what they're talking about, at least they can, you know, accurately describe what they like, and we'll just go
and
from
you
there.
And translate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And where we get to do, at this time, we still have a off-premise license. We do 4 samples. So having 8 beers on tap, being able to offer 4 samples,
yeah.
the odds are really in our favor.
Yeah.
That we're going to find
absolutely.
Something that they're going to really enjoy.
How often do you have people that are just going there to just pick up like their normal, regular Budweiser? They're just kind of like looking over like, oh, well, that's interesting. I wonder what that's all about. Like, is that fairly common, or do people kind of know what they're getting into a little bit more when they come see you guys?
I would say probably a good maybe 1/5 of our business is folks that, and I'm not shy about it either. Like, I'll see somebody in the domestic cold case, and I'll just pretty much go run and jump in front of them and say, like, hey, what are you doing? Let's come have a sample with me. Like,
I've
yeah.
seen
yes,
you.
Yes,
yeah. And who's going to turn down free beer, right?
Right,
yeah.
And I don't think I've had very few folks turn down free beer, so we will do whatever it takes just to get, you know, folks aware of what we're doing there. And, you know, a lot of people, too, will just, they'll just be shopping around, you know, have their cart full of stuff, hit the beer den in the corner as they're, you know, making their way out of the store, and they're just kind of like, wait, what is this? There's a bear with antlers. What, is this, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And so it's always cool to have those first-time guests that you can really give the full spiel of, you know,
yeah.
this is what we're about. Oh, my gosh, that's so awesome.
Jeff's holding up his pillow that's got a bear on it with deer
with
antlers.
Antlers.
Beer. Yeah.
But it's really a question. Like,
it's a question. Beer?
Beer? A couple of times that we've been there to visit you, we've seen you pull non-craft drinkers over and offer them a few samples. And some of the time, like, we've seen them be a little bit more apprehensive about this whole new big craft world.
Oh, definitely.
And they leave not really finding anything. But you always tell them, like, try back in, like, 2 days and we'll probably have all new things. Do you see familiar faces coming back to try again, even if they were kind of apprehensive?
Oh, yeah,
example.
Definitely. And that's the thing, too, is I try to be very conscious of those guests that say they come by, we don't find something for them that specific day. You know, I want to kind of make a mental note that that's somebody I want to look out for, make
mm-hmm.
sure that, you know, if I do catch them, you know, perusing the wine or in the cold case again, that I can say, like, well, look what new I have on today. Look what different beers and different styles I have
mm-hmm.
available, and maybe this is something that you're going to like more. And that's why I love the variety that we're able to offer and that we're changing, you know, what we have on tap so consistently, because
mm-hmm.
more often than not, we're going to find something for
yeah.
that someone.
So I'm not sure if you said this before. If you did, I didn't catch it. But do you have a formula that you go by, like, for specifically, like, okay, we want to have, like, you know, like, this many IPAs roughly? Like, do you kind of, like, say, this is how we want the spectrum to be built up, more or less?
Well,
or is it kind of depending on seasons, or?
Yeah, well, in a broad way, I would say that the 3 criteria that we base the beers that we select, we always want to have a good focus on local. Lowe's Foods is all about being local,
right.
So being in the beer den, especially department,
yeah.
we want that strong focus on local.
Right.
Seasonals, of course, are huge. We right now, or previously, we did a good bit with Oktoberfest, those Marzen style lagers,
yeah.
and then now we've got a good bit of pumpkin on, kind of transitioning into some darker, richer
beers.
And I think
beers. You guys had Hoots on tap for a second.
Yes,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
we've had a couple
yeah.
from Hoots, and I mean, just
those guys
great,
are great
local.
They've got some weird beers out there, but they're really good.
I love their Oktoberfest was phenomenal. I mean, that was one of the quickest kegs of that style of beer we went through.
What
it
do
was
you,
crazy.
In terms of styles, like, what do you see, like, what are your, like, best sellers?
IPAs, ambers, and stouts. And it's wild. Our Lowe's Foods president, Tim Lowe, his favorite beer is the New Holland Dragon's Milk, bourbon barrel aged
oh,
stout.
It's a good
and
drink.
So you will see that on tap a good bit. Of course, he and his enjoying that beer kind of inspired us to have that on tap, and then our guests have just ran with it, and
it's
they
so
love
good.
It.
It's so good.
So, yeah, so really, those are the 3, like, main ones that stand out, but we fill in the blanks with anything and everything else that I can get my hands on.
Have you ever had, like, something that just doesn't go? Like, people aren't into it, or it's just you're not getting fills? Have you ever had to, like, take a keg out and be like, this was a flop?
Fortunately, we haven't run into that yet. I mean, we're definitely...
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. We're getting to the point where we're trying to do more, you know, kind of out there styles that... Yeah,
kind of
be
stuff,
more
yeah.
adventurous. And I think for the first couple of months, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say we played it safe, but we catered to... You know what the demand
right.
was.
Right. When you want to get it off the ground and
yeah,
running, and make
absolutely.
Sure you do it right. Yeah.
So now we're trying to do just even more variety.
Right.
Just have I don't know do more with like gozas and,
right.
and sours.
And what's really cool about that is especially with people who've converted, but even people who haven't that are actually just have been craft beer drinkers for a decent amount of time. I know I've got friends who find, like, the weird thing, and
mm-hmm.
then that's just their new favorite beer
yep.
until the tap's gone, right?
Yep.
And they'll come in every third day.
That is me, too.
Yeah.
I love the weirdest thing for me, without fail. But I'm sure you see, like, a really good balance of customers. Like, those, maybe those playing it a little bit more safe that are more non-craft, but then you have... The people who are into, like, really weird stuff. Like,
definitely.
Do you have people coming in and asking you if you're going to have, like, a goza or a sour?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny. We, like you were saying, where you'll find something that you love and just kind of go with it. We've had guests, I know when I had on the Anderson Valley, the Kimmy the Ink and the Holy Goza, I had a guest that came in probably every day for like 3 days to get 2 growlers every time he came in.
Wow.
That was just his
Jesus.
Favorite.
Was that just
he
a
loved
half
it. Yeah, yeah. So smaller, I mean, but he loved it. That's what he wanted. And he was very appreciative that we got it on tap, but he pretty much killed the keg on his own. So thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome.
Jesus.
Are there, you talked a little bit about, like, the styles you like to keep on, but what are some of, like, do you have any, like, specifics that you love or you see, like, that you bring back as, like, den favorites?
Well, a couple of den favorites.
This is kind of funny because we were just talking about this today when
oh,
I stopped right? over. Because
I know I've come in a couple times and Unknown's Hospitality
mm-hmm.
has been on, and that
yeah.
is one of my favorite beers.
Love it.
So I know that you have a couple in your back pocket that are, like,
oh,
always
yeah.
big hits.
So I would have to say, like, definitely the Unknown Hospitality Jade IPA from Foothills is always a huge hit. I have a list of guests that I call or text when those kegs get tapped because otherwise it'll just fly so quick. I personally am a huge fan of Boulevard, and so I do try to do a lot with, like, Tank 7 and Saison
Bret.
Phenomenal
beer.
Yeah, so we just, I mean, those are some of the favorites, but a lot of the local stuff, too. Like, folks get really excited when they see Natty Greens and, Hoots out of Winston, and it's just really exciting when somebody will look up at the boards that we have and just be like, oh my gosh, you have that.
Well, you had Gibbs on when we came in last weekend.
Yes, and I'm a huge fan of Gibbs 100. We've done their gold medal winning ESB, the Guilty Party. We've had their Belgian style triple.
It's pretty good, man. I had it the other day.
Yeah.
Now,
I haven't had it yet.
Is that a beer, their gold winner, something you've had on before, or was that the first time you've had it?
Now, that was the first time we had that specific beer. We've done some of their other beers prior
okay.
to, you know, them winning that award.
Okay.
But
I would have just been interested in, like, how quickly it you kicked the keg now versus before they won, if you had had it on.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish
like
I would have.
Been
yeah,
kind of
that
cool.
would have been
yeah,
really
been
cool to see the difference.
See how much it actually affected
yeah.
it. Yeah.
But still, I mean, and there are so many folks that just maybe just aren't in the loop of, you know, who wins medals at
JABF. That's what I was going to ask you.
Right.
Do you have, like, a lot of beer nerds come in who are just, like, just hit you with stuff and, like,
oh, yeah. I mean, I have
you.
a good handful of folks that come in and want to put me through my paces and, you know, see what I'm going to say when they ask me about specific beers or brewing companies. And, it's just really cool to have those kind of people with that passion and who really love craft beer. Like they want to see what we know, and we're happy to make sure that we give them the appropriate answers and knowledge. And hey, if we ever don't know something, we're the kind of folks where it's like, we're going to find out really quick. Let's go look it
up. And having people come in there that have a decent amount of knowledge probably also helps, like, you know, because you're just always having that conversation.
Oh, yeah. And then when we have a couple of guests at the bar, I mean, it's conversation between guests and between our hosts, too. So it's just there's recommendations or, hey, what are you trying? What did you really just like? Or what did you get a growler
of? Yeah.
So, I mean, it goes, you know, all sorts of different directions, you know, the more people that we can get in that area and talking about the beer.
Yeah. So speaking of what we just got a growler of, you brought some beer with you.
Yes, I did.
What are we drinking right now?
So right now we are drinking, it's from RJ Rockers Brewing Company. They collaborated with Triple C. Out of Charlotte, so RJ Rockers from Spartanburg, South Carolina. This is their Little Red Ride in the Hood. So this is a red rye IPA, and this is actually on tap special this evening because we were doing a RJ Rockers kind of half tap takeover. So this was one of four beers of theirs that we had on tap. And yeah, so we love doing special events too, so we can get some exposure to some of these fairly local brewing companies. With Lowe's, we kind of call local North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia.
Yeah.
A good bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is just, haven't been able to do as many rye IPAs or even like specifically a red rye IPA. So this is nice and refreshing to do something new.
I don't believe I've had a red rye before.
Ryes are so good.
I've definitely,
Jeff loves ryes.
I do like ryes. They're kind of a pain in the ass to brew, but... But
Jeff,
they're delicious.
Talk about that beer something, dude.
Talk about this beer?
Talk about the beer. The people at home need to know what it tastes
so,
like.
So, I don't know if you're very familiar with rye, but I'm not sure exactly how to describe the flavor of a rye. I don't know. There's a ton of hops in this. You can definitely taste. It's a decent amount.
But it's more of a...
It's pretty
smooth.
It's like a deeper...
Yeah,
it's not like sharp.
Sometimes, like with an IPA, like, you get it on the back end. This kind of, like, you ride out that bitterness,
It doesn't really punch
you... Thank you, Chris. Everyone knows I love my puns, and I appreciate it.
It doesn't really punch you in the face like an IPA, though. I think it's really balanced. And this is actually one of the breweries that we just talked about the other day.
Yeah, Triple C.
Triple C that you really liked.
Yeah, that was good.
No, this is really good. I really enjoy this beer. I'm not a huge fan of RJ Rockers. Just because, like, the Son of a Peach.
Mm-hmm.
It always seemed like very much like a, you know, like Miller and stuff. Like them trying to get into the craft beer. It was kind of just... And it was always really syrupy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good. This is really good.
Well, this one, so we had four of their different beers on tap today. So it was this one that we're tasting right now. We had, of course, their Son of a Peach Wheat Ale with peaches, their Strawberry Bomber, which had, I think they said, like 150 pounds of strawberry puree that they brewed with. And then they did their Gruntled Pumpkin, which is an Imperial Pumpkin Ale. And I would have to say that this is by far my favorite of the four, but the Gruntled Pumpkin was pretty great too, just for, you know, a pumpkin spiced ale. I'm not as huge into those as I know I've got some friends that really love that stuff, but
is
not
it a spice
for me.
Ball?
No, it's
okay,
not.
That's
and that's what I appreciate about it. The finish on it is so just clean, and it was just different for me with a seasonal beer like that to find something that I was very surprised and impressed by you know what you mindset you think what you're going to get.
A lot
of
times it's really gimmicky and it's
mm-hmm.
just kind of exactly what you expect it to be.
Yep.
Do you get a lot of access to the seasonal beers? Like, does your, I guess your approved beer list like update pretty regularly? So you can
yes.
get them?
Yeah. And I'm kind of a pain myself because if stuff is not on my approved list, I'm constantly emailing my category manager and the pricing folks with Lowe's to find a way for us to get this beer in. So
well, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
cool.
And
so you do have like a little bit of pull or say when it comes. That's pretty awesome.
A good bit. I mean, we have a really long list of approved kegs. It's growing by the day with as many emails as myself and some of the other Din Masters send, pushing for new stuff.
Well, it makes sense because you guys are right there talking to your customer and your clientele.
Oh, yeah.
You know exactly what they're looking for and what they want from day to day.
Absolutely. And I think that's another reason why, especially us in Jamestown, have been so successful in the Beer Din, is because we listen to those demands. Like, we're
right.
conscious of what our guests are asking for. And, you know, sometimes it might be something that, you know, there's no way we can get just distribution-wise or,
yeah.
you know, legally sold
mm-hmm.
in North Carolina. Like,
right.
there are reasons
yeah.
that we can't get in certain things. And we'll have to do our best to do our research to find other beers that we can bring
to fill
in.
Us in
to,
yeah.
yeah.
To fill the void.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's a very, like, welcoming space that you guys have.
Thank
like,
you.
I bet especially for people, like, newly being introduced to craft beer, it's a much less intimidating way than, saying going to Total Wine and just seeing, like, aisles and aisles of craft beer, not knowing where to start. Like, you're right there being able to point them in a direction and handing them something that they can taste right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And they don't have to wait their
yeah.
waste their money, you know, buying a six-pack and then maybe not liking it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the biggest thing. That's what we were talking about. It's like, going to Total Wine is great because there's a huge selection, but sometimes
it's
just
overwhelming.
It is.
So overwhelming.
She hates going with me.
You walk in there
I never said I hated going with
If you walk out with beer, you don't
yeah.
hate it.
I'm terrible.
Last time I walked out
if
with
we're leaving with wine, it's a different number.
Yeah. I walked out with an Anderson Valley Goza, which
you
is
did.
Still sitting in the fridge. I need to drink it.
Yes,
it is
did.
Like a special occasion beer. It's delicious.
You got a hospitality.
We got
a
four
a,
pack
we got
of
a
hospitality.
Six pack of that.
Yum.
But I just, when we go to Total Wine, I know I have to set aside a block of time.
Yeah.
There's no way we're ever rushing through that place.
Well, and you go in there, and you may see something you've had before that you like, but more times than not, you're just kind of pick a style and then find the cool label. And, like, you're
yeah.
kind of playing that
yeah.
game, and there's not
we,
a whole lot more to it.
We try to sometimes, like, we set, like, boundaries. We're like, okay, tonight we're not buying or trying anything that we've had before.
Right.
We're expanding our reach.
I love that.
So,
yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. We do that a lot when we go to Asheville. Just like all new beers.
That's yeah, that's our rule. Is we
that's pretty much my
that
standard
was,
anytime I get a chance to, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why keep getting something you like when you
yeah.
you're in a town that you don't go to very often,
yeah.
so try something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you know what the style is, I mean, it's not like you're gonna, you know, if you're in the mood for something, you get that. It's gonna still scratch that same itch as whatever beer you wanted, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have like your favorite beers or whatever, but
and most breweries are pretty cool. Like, you just go and be like, hey, can I try this?
Yeah.
And most of them are like, yeah, sure, here you go. Here's
well,
a little sample.
Well, because they don't
want
to sell you something that you don't like.
And yeah, then you're
yeah.
going to be
yeah.
like, you know,
that,
talking bad about them. And
that goes back to that, to the whole culture of everything. Everybody, like, there are so many different styles and varieties and, like, funky new recipes because people want to find something for everybody's taste.
Right.
Like, all these breweries have the consumer in mind, which is really
right.
awesome and nice.
Speaking of which, since you're on, and we like to, because a lot of people listen to this podcast because they don't know a whole lot about beer yet. Some people, I'm sure, are listening just to sit there and correct us. what would you put out as, like, a introductory substitute for, like, I don't know, like, would you mind picking, like, a few beers that people tend to drink and then kind of maybe saying, like, if you like this, maybe you should go out and try this?
Oh, yeah. So some common ones that we'll get. We have a lot of folks, again, coming from that domestic side. I'll have so many, especially older men, come and say, what you got that's like a Mick Ultra? And, I mean, at times, I do have to kind of, like, hold it in and not kind of bust out laughing because it's just so funny. They want it. They know that that's
regular kind of ultra or 64. What are we?
That's even a little too specific. Chris.
You're just gonna confuse them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
A whole nother can of worms. But yeah. So just coming from like the premium light side, some popular ones that will have guest taste. Like a popular one is like the Coronado Orange Avenue Wit. Or Old Mecklenburg's Captain Jack Pilsner. So,
which is fantastic.
Yes, I love Old Mecklenburg.
We got a growler of that last time we visited
you. So good. It's so delicious. And so those are kind of like...
Pilsner's probably a pretty good choice for anybody that's like a Miller drinker, too.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is a Pilsner,
yeah.
As opposed to most of them being lagers.
True. So that, definitely the old Mecklenburg Captain Jack will do a good bit with like the Oscar Blues, Mama's Little Yellow Pills. Try to keep that variety available. So, you know, at any given time, that might not be an option for
right.
us and
yeah.
that guest,
yeah.
but we're going to do our best to find something close to that mark
yeah.
to be able to start with. Every now and then, too, we'll have folks that, you know, they'll be like, well, I just tried Red Oak and I love it, and
mm-hmm.
all I want to drink is Red Oak. And, you know, we'll have to kind of take a second and be like, yes, let's pay some genuine, like, yes, we love Red Oak. Red Oak is great. Hummingbird is great. We love it. But let's try some. Let's pull you out of this, like, you're just drinking your amber.
Yeah.
Like, let's
get a little
just,
more complex.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I'm sure you see people even, like, getting stuck in even craft beer. Like, they're just stuck on this, like, one beer.
Oh,
oh
sure,
yeah.
Yeah,
and that's how a lot of folks are with the Foothills Jade IPA. Like, I
yeah,
have so many people that all they want is Jade. And, you know, nothing against Jade. I get growlers of it myself. I love it.
So
but
good.
It's... There's so many other great IPAs out there
yeah.
and available and that
yeah.
we're getting on tap. So at times I have to do a little bit of like arm twisting,
yeah.
but I'm like really nice about it. So people tend not to mind. So it's just like, it's only a 2 ounce sample. Just try it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it,
yeah.
we're going to, I'll give you a
yeah,
sample
we'll,
of something.
We'll pour
else.
It out.
Like,
it'll
we'll
be
pour
fine.
It. It's okay. We'll pretend
pour
it,
it out.
Never happened, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, we do what we have to do to make it work and just to find something that they like.
Yeah. What was the biggest sale you've ever had? Like, how many growlers has one person
I think you're
like?
Asking this for a specific reason.
I am.
Because
I am.
One of your lovely friends came in and saw me having a party, and I think we filled up a combination of like 7 or 8 growlers between different, there were 64-ounce growlers, 32-ounce growlers. I mean, we pretty much got him a growler of everything we had on tap, and it was awesome.
They were all pretty good.
Oh yeah,
we went to that party.
I
was more curious if anyone's like exceeded that because he was really proud of that purchase.
Oh yeah,
as he should. Have been.
Oh yeah.
So Fulmer's listening.
Thank you. I saw that picture.
He probably
was
put
funny.
It in number one.
It was funny because he got all that beer, and then I had to explain to him that like once you open it. You have to drink it?
Yes.
He's like,
yeah.
Oh.
There was a lot of beer for the amount of people we had.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad thing, though.
Well, and two, like, there will just be times where I'll get what I like to call, like, a unicorn keg or just something that is special or was hard for me personally to get
mm-hmm.
into the store. In the beginning, like Grapefruit Sculpin, something like that was a challenge. It was something that I really had to push my distributor representatives to let me have. And we would have guests, can think of a specific favorite guest. He came in and absolutely loves Grapefruit Sculpin, got 3 64-ounce growlers and a 32-ounce growler just because he wanted to be able to have that variety in his fridge so he could go and enjoy, like, maybe if he just wanted to have 2 beers tonight, he's going to go with the 32, or if he's got people coming over, he's got a 64 he's going to
yeah,
open.
Yeah.
So he just knew that he could, like, kind of budget those
yeah.
over a certain period of time
yeah.
and have his favorite beer.
I do like that you guys have the, I forget what the system's called, but where it actually
yes.
pushes the oxygen out of it so they do keep
yeah, so it's
the counter pressure
system, the Pegasus, I love that thing. It's so great. It actually is good with reducing the amount of beer we would waste if we were doing like traditional tap tube filling
right,
growlers.
Right, pour over.
Exactly. So it's reducing waste, and then it's also, of course, keeping your beer fresher longer. The company Pegasus that we're getting these the system from, they would actually say that beer in a properly filled and sealed growler would stay fresh if unopened. For like 60 to 90 days. Of course,
yes.
I don't...
We've often heard that too.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't...
It's like a 2 liter of soda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I like to be very honest with my guests, and I under quote that, because I would rather them, you know, enjoy fresh beer and never have an instance where...
Right, and then and this could be past date, and you know what? They're not going to throw it away. They're going to be like, I wonder if this is still... you know, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff's about to serve up some more...
Oh, so also with... if you do get a growler fail, you probably should drink it within 24 to 48 hours...
Yes.
From my personal experience.
Yes, yeah. So once you open your growler, you are going to need to enjoy it in that day or two time frame. Just because, you know, who wants to open a growler and pour out some flat beer?
Yeah,
because
oxygen's going to get in there and it's going to go flat and it's just not going to taste
good
at all.
But if you're like us around here, you might have a harder time trying to make it last 24 to 48 hours.
True, yeah.
That's usually the problem.
Keep getting water left on the bottom of my glass.
It just happens with these tulip glasses.
Chris, get your shit together.
Mm, are you drinking my beer?
Oh, this one's yours. I'm really excited because I'm really excited about what Jeff is pouring right now. And I'm just grabbing any full glass of beer.
It's like, there's beer in there? Oh, there's a sour
beer?
Is this wiki meat on it?
There's not being in, dude. Alyssa, you're like scratching the skin off your face. Like, what's that?
So
I maybe should get some beer.
You should talk about it.
Me? It's a farmhouse ale.
So what's the name of the beer, babe? Let's not get up ahead of ourselves here.
Bredaberry. You just talk about it.
All right. So this is one
this
of
like
Wicked
beer.
Weed's...
Oh,
their Terra Locale series. It is their, as she said, Bredaberry, which is a tart farmhouse ale. And they use berries and honey.
Ooh.
So this is one that I pulled out of my beer closet. My fiance and I have taken our front coat closet and just decided who wants to hang coats there. Let's just like sell her some beer.
Yeah.
So we're huge. Like Alyssa, I'm a huge Wicked Weed fan. So every time we get down to Asheville,
try to
visit the Funkatorium, grab a case of beers. And so this is one of the few that I have not, well, it's open now. But yeah.
I just envision you have one of those, you know, like the shoe racks you put on the back of a closet door? Just like, just 22s the whole way down.
I like that you envision it with a shoe rack and not even like a wine rack. Which
no, the wine rack's actually inside of the closet. But you just need that extra space. Just
need shoes. I need a place for my beer.
Exactly.
This is more important than shoes.
Yeah, that's what our guest room closet's for.
It's mostly beer stuff.
Yeah.
What wonderful women are we, right? Give up the shoes. We want beer.
I hauled a refrigerator from New Jersey to North Carolina so Jeff could make a kegerator.
I don't see you complaining, though.
Oh, I'm not complaining.
Wait, we need to do that again.
I'm just talking about the lengths us ladies go
for
fresh, awesome
this is
beer.
So
absolutely
tart.
So, yeah, it's
I love it.
It's 5.5%.
Thank God.
I don't think it's that tart. I think it's tart.
You don't think it's tart? I think it's tart. I think it's got that kind of grapefruit.
I think it's
like a sweet tartness.
Punch into
I
think you have a higher tolerance now because we do drink a lot of sours, and the most sour beer that we've ever had
is the American Sour from Natty's.
From Natty Green.
This is more sour than the Sour Patch Kids I ate on the way here.
We have
increased your tolerance in the last couple of hours. But,
we had a bottle of the 2014 this year. So it was a year old at that point.
That was like, Natty's American Sour is so sour, like you really like pucker on the way down.
Yeah?
Yeah,
it's so good.
The most sour beer I've ever had. And it's delicious. Yeah, it's just like drinking lemon juice. Like, you know.
And it just gets better
and better
with age. It's so good.
It's weird that that's like a pleasant thing
but
for me.
It's that, you know, I described a beer earlier as tasting like vomit in a good way. So
you
say weird things about beer sometimes. I
liked it. You could actually, I don't know if you could taste the honey, but it's really smooth and it's a little sweet too.
Oh,
I think that's where the honey
is. It kind of rounds it out. But and the berries are great. And it's got
it's funny that you said grapefruit, Chris, because it does look like
it's got that color to it. Yeah,
a little bit.
It does.
I don't have much commentary to add. I'm just going to drink
She's just enjoying.
You've been doing a lot of talking. You can just
sit
back. And
you get to do the Guy Fieri thing where you just go. Right, you make sound effects. So they know you're enjoying it.
And then 2 seconds later, you're spitting it out. But you're not.
You guys ever watch those food shows like that?
Guy Fieri spits out all of his food.
But it's always just so weird to me because he can't talk. And he, like, if you cut the picture off and put a porno over it, like, it would make sense. He's just, like, eating a burger, just, like, grunting. Like.
He enjoys his food.
Right. He's a big foodie.
As does Manderspoon. You remember that?
Adam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He came to my college campus once and did a food challenge, and I was across the street in a class that I couldn't skip. And I could see him from the window, and I was really upset that my professor was such a biatch about the whole thing. Which is really unfair to say because it was a women's studies class.
What's up with this feminazi teaching? No.
Yeah, right. I just want to watch this guy shove subs in his mouth.
And get the meat sweats.
I like Anthony Bourdain because I like watching him eat weird stuff I would never eat. But just the experience of like seeing somebody, I don't know.
Well, he drinks a good bit, too.
He does.
That man likes his booze.
Yeah.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
He drinks weird off-the-wall stuff, too.
That's not a bad thing.
It's fantastic. Yeah. But it's just like, here's this wine that I've never heard of ever that is only in Greece. Like, okay. All right.
It's been at the bottom of the ocean for 300 years.
We dug this up from the ruins of Pompeii.
It tastes like coral and lead. And I paid $1 million for it.
The locals love it, though. That's the...
To circle back to beer, what is the most expensive beer any of you guys have ever had?
Oh.
And I'm
going to raise my hand.
I'm sure you guys have me beat. I probably don't even know.
So the most expensive bottle, it was a 12-ounce bottle of the Dogfish Head 120-minute IPA, which we bought in New Jersey
at World of Beer.
World of Beer. I was not aware of the price of this beer when I got it. I was just excited because that day we were looking in Total Wine and we couldn't find it.
Yes.
And then I saw it and I was like, man, I've never had this beer. I'm going to splurge. I'm just going to get it. And then I get the bill and it was $23.
Whoa. Yeah.
And Jeff didn't even like it that much.
Oh! Awful. Awful beer. It's a lot like any Dogfish Head IPA. It's just super malty, just very syrupy. There's no real hop character. It's just... And it's 18%, which is why we can't get it down here.
Yeah.
Because the legal limit, I think, is like...
And if
15,
you've listened to
maybe?
Episode 2, you know that that is not Jeff's preferred IPA style.
No, you probably would have liked it.
I probably would have liked it.
You probably would have loved it. But it was awful. I had to choke it down.
Yeah?
It was bad.
That bad? I bet it's really boozy, too.
It's super boozy.
It's that
high.
Like, I can't even
imagine. I had some good beer that night, though. Kiwi something.
You guys, I picked well for you guys.
Yeah, Jeff
as
always
per usual.
Picks me the better beer, and he admits that. He's like, he'll try mine, and I'll be like, oh, damn it, I like yours better.
I may have actually remembered a more expensive beer that both of us have had. Because I don't remember which one it was, but I'm pretty sure when we did the beer episode of Name Redacted at Cella Brew, that one of the bottles that he had there was upwards of $30 for a bottle.
Yeah, he had a lot of sours and chuzas. There were some really expensive ones. I remember that.
He had beer stacked out. It looked like the bars on your cell phone.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Oh.
I think I still
fantastic.
Have that photo.
Yeah.
I'll look
for
it. It was
awesome.
But yeah, we had some really good beer.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was all sours, all high alcohol if it wasn't a sour. It was good. We got pretty drunk.
That was the first time I had a sour.
That was. Because that was when Colin and Fulmer were getting into sours.
Yeah.
They're like, sours are going to be the next big thing. They said it like, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Such hipsters.
They were right.
They were into it before they were
well,
big.
I mean, they
sours are
those
grown
hipsters,
well.
So.
Yeah.
No one's denying that.
So, like, what beers are you, like, you have to have, or like, what do you like chase after?
Well, I love sours, I love saisons, I love farmhouse ales, but I'm really all over the place because I can really appreciate a good IPA or stout as well. So I'm really kind of an equal beer lover. Like, I love them all. But
equal
as far
opportunity
as
drinker.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. I was trying to go there, I just couldn't get it out. But, like, right now, I've just been really stuck on, of course, like, Wicked Weed Sours. It's just, it's, you know what to expect, or at least I feel like I do. I know that anytime I'm going to have one of their sours, anything from the Funkatorium, I'm going to love it. And so it's worth the investment to go ahead and say, let's just go for
it's
it.
It's worth the $16 that you pay per bottle.
Exactly. Or when you go to the Funkatorium on your birthday like I did, just grab a case and just, like, throw your wallet at the bar.
Here's my credit card.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how much I just paid for it.
Just
ring it up.
Just ring it up and bring me another
this guy right here, he's going to sign it for me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We, Jeff and I, ran into someone from a certain local brewery, and I won't say where. But we were talking about sours with this person,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, yeah, but I don't like these new, like, engineered sours that are kind of fake, like, all, like, what Wicked Weed does. And I, like, had to, like, keep my face, like, very neutral,
mm-hmm.
but I felt, like, personally offended.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yes.
Well, no, he's, they do it traditionally, but, like, he's talking about, like, sour kettling, like, putting, you know, lactic acid and stuff like that to produce these sour beers within, you know, a couple weeks instead of, like, 2 years like we do
but
in Natty's.
But categorized Wicked Weed.
Yeah, he
well,
called them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She but...
Oh, that person. Never mind.
Yeah.
Wrong person.
Wrong person.
She was very snobby, and she worked for a brewery that we are not very much...
Fond of.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
You were not very fond of the owner of said brewery and owner of a lot of real estate.
Jeff's just gonna,
right,
like,
Gotcha.
No, I need him to be on board.
I'm on board. Hopefully that wasn't too much, because I'm gonna show him now.
it's there. You got
I just,
okay.
Like, had to keep myself from saying anything about it, like...
Yeah, she just, like, offended, like, your favorite Power Ranger. She's just I hate the Pink Ranger. Fuck her.
I was more of a Captain Planet girl, but I understand what the reference
my
is.
My Pikachu is going to tear up.
Gotta
catch them all.
Gotta collect all of them. Those sours. every single sour.
Wicked Weed, I choose you.
But Wicked Weed, if you've ever been to the Funkatorium, they have a ton of barrels. So it's not like they're producing this within, like, weeks. It's months to a year. Like, they have enough, like, moving around that they're able to keep up with demand.
Yeah, that's... They have designated place for just their sours to keep up with. Yeah.
Like, they probably have, like, 500 barrels in that place. It's ridiculous. But if you guys want any more, there's totally more. It's your beer. I don't want to drink it all.
Is there anything on your, beer bucket list that you've been trying to get your hands on? Personally or for the den?
Way to put me on the spot.
Actually, here's another good question that might be a little bit easier to answer.
Okay.
How much does your personal taste weigh into your selection?
Greatly.
Okay.
I'll be honest. Yeah, so that's... I definitely use the very fortunate and great position that I'm in to try to bring these favorites of mine.
Absolutely.
And I feel like, too, like, it makes it easier when I'm talking to my guests if I can be genuinely excited about a beer, or if I can say, this is a personal favorite. This is something that I love.
Yeah.
You know, it makes
it different.
You're
like the waitress, like, pointing at the menu, like, that one.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. And to be able to, you know, talk about, you know, maybe the first time that I tried it, or, you know, specific characteristics of the beer and why I love it so much, to be able to pull out these small things that really resonate with a guest. So, yeah. I really can't think of something that I'm just, like, dying to have at the moment, but...
Something that you've had, and yes. I've been dying to try since you Instagrammed it, is Nectarphilia, of course, from Wicked Weed.
Yes.
But I can't get my hands on it anywhere.
Does everybody have, like, a unicorn? Like, is there a beer out there that, like, you really want to try, but you still have not grasped it yet and had it? Is there anything...
I mean, I'm sure there are. I'm just, like, blanking on my just list of everything I want to have right now because I've got a Wicked Weed beer in front of me, and I can't really see past it right now.
The haze.
The sour haze. Like, I'm stuck.
So here you go. I think this is something that we should actually start asking guests in general is, since you were saying you've got a lot of, like, stories associated with beers and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any beer stories that are particularly memorable that you might want to talk about?
Well, I just will always remember my first trip to Wicked Weed, and it's crazy that we keep circling back to this. it's just true. It's just one of those places where, you know, the first time I went with my fiance Alex, we got there and it felt like home. Like, everything about it, the people, the beers, of course, the food, just the atmosphere, everything made us feel so, like, I didn't want to go home. It was really sad when they started closing down. So I was like, do I have to go? Can I just work here? Like, I'll sleep in the back.
You've
don't
been
worry
here
about
all morning.
Me.
You have to go home.
Right,
getting
yeah.
dragged up by your ankles.
Exactly,
the
yeah. I'm just, like, holding on to one of their bar stools. Like, drag me out. But, yeah, like, that's definitely a memory and, you know, an experience that I'll never forget, trying my first sour and... you know, first experience at Wicked Weed, which I do, like you call, you know, one of my favorite brewing companies. Yeah.
We were actually just talking, the first time I ever had a sour, the year mark is actually coming in January, and we were talking about on our 1 year anniversary, we have to have Black Angel.
Nice.
That was the first beer after I had moved down here that I, like, really, truly loved. And then that weekend, probably the next day, we woke up early and we drove out to Asheville and went to the Funkatorium.
That was my first sour as well. Yeah.
It's
like, that's such
good.
A special beer. Yeah.
Yeah. That is, like, my... It just gives me, like, a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I've got two in... Well, one in my beer closet now. We've got another in a box we're planning on taking to Charleston this weekend. I don't really know how I feel about that. It's hard to, like, part with these beers that we've been sitting on for so long. So I remember when we first grabbed up a couple Black Angels, we did three because we told ourselves we would do one to enjoy now, one in 6 months, one in a year. None of them lasted. we were not good at playing the waiting and patience thing. Not so much. So, yeah, but that one is one that's super special to me. I love Black Angel.
Such a good beer.
That was funny because that's one we got from a coworker when I was still working at my last job. He's like, man, I had this one. I really wasn't into it. Here you go. I'm like, are you serious? Like,
that's fantastic.
This beer is fucking awesome. Like,
yeah, it was. And we split one bottle, which was, like, really hard to...
Yeah, they're 500 milliliter bottles.
Yeah, yeah. That was the weekend, that next Monday, you started at Natty's.
That is true, because the weekend before that, we were in Asheville.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably the most important question we might ask
no,
you tonight.
No, absolutely the most important question.
When can we get a pint and shop for our groceries at Lowe's Food?
So the really unfortunate thing is I can't give you a specific date. We have done everything on our end as far as filing the paperwork and doing the final inspections of since the remodel, all those kind of things. So right now we're really just waiting on, I believe it's the city of High Point is who we had to submit this to sign off on that permit to give us the on-premise available, you know, for us to be able to say, like, come grab a pint of beer, a glass of wine to enjoy as you shop. So,
are the buggies going to have cup holders?
Yes, they will.
That
they're totally going to have cup holders.
That's going to be awesome. Yes.
I also love that you just called them buggies.
I know. I'm trying to do a southerner.
I hate that you call them
I know. Me too. I hate it too.
I think it's adorable.
It's actually terrible. Used to work at the Liz Who's that she's the beer den master at. And
3 out of 4 of us have.
Yes.
Or still work for Liz
Who's. This is very true. And the first time somebody's like, oh, could you get me a buggy? And I was like,
A what?
What the hell is a buggy? I'll get you a cart. I don't know what a buggy is.
Are you trying to, like, drive through sand dunes? I don't know.
That reminds me of the first time I used to work at a snack bar at a country club. And I remember the first time someone asked me for a glass of half and half, I went into the kitchen with Kramer because I had no idea what they were talking about. I was like 15 years old.
I would have done the same thing.
That was not something I've ever told anyone, and that was out in the universe.
Now everybody knows.
For everyone to know. But yes, I would have buggy.
What, like an Arnold Palmer? Is that what
they're
called?
Yes, an Arnold Palmer.
Okay.
But I did not know them by half and half. So I went,
no, that's a weird way to put it. I'll give you that.
Yes.
That's, nobody asked for a half and half.
Oh, rice, just creamer on it.
That's good.
Be like, okay, here you go.
Sure, weirdo. Whatever you want to do with your billions, what you do.
You got some Kahlua in your pocket? You know?
Yeah, right.
So,
I won't tell anyone, just share it.
So you guys have any events coming up or any more tap takeovers?
Yes, so November 7th, we will be featuring Abita, and
nice.
Then on the 12th, we will have Foothills,
okay.
And
oh,
on
nice.
The 13th, Highwire. So three
nice.
Really cool
Those are
events
really good.
Just in the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
Nice.
We will
excited about
definitely
that.
Be stopping by and checking it out.
Yes, awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we try to visit you whenever we... We actually mostly go to Lowe's now just to visit you, so you know.
Oh, it's the sweetest
we
thing
need to
ever.
Start leaving them in
That's
my
why
car.
They stop buying beer.
Yeah.
They don't want your beer, they just want you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, pick me. Mutual love. Which we.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's not to love about Carly, guys? So.
I love you guys.
We're so glad you were able to make your schedule work.
Yes.
And be on the show today.
Thank you for having me. This
yeah.
has been a lot of fun.
You've been fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
This has been a blast.
She's been our first actual guest.
You are our most bona fide guest yet.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And we
yes.
hope you become a reoccurring one.
I love it, especially on these upcoming food and beer
yes.
shows that I've
yeah.
heard about.
We're
so. Going
to have to fend people off with sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A potluck lunch.
Yeah,
doing, yeah
there'll
be
more information to come about those, but
so five
we're
second
so
snippets
excited.
Of everybody talking.
Yeah,
I'll bring the growlers.
Yes.
Always
amazing. So, was there anything else, Jeff, you wanted to add, or anyone else?
No,
I think that's good. Really tight episode, yes.
Yeah. So everyone, check out all our social medias. We're
yes.
on Facebook. We're on Untappd.
Yes.
We're on Twitter. Yeah, just give us
yeah.
feedback.
We actually have a cool link that we'll be posting that relates back to craft substitutions for big beer. We were talking about them a little bit
cool.
before. Jeff actually has a link he wants to post to our Twitter. So keep a lookout on that. Next time you go to a family barbecue or the holidays are coming up,
yeah.
you'll know what to bring for
yeah.
your dads and uncles or anyone else.
Nice.
Too.
If you guys want to get more episodes, make sure that you subscribe. And if you could do us a massive favor, not to sound like that guy, this is not because I want to make myself feel better, I promise. But if you guys can rate and comment on these podcasts on Stitcher or iTunes or whatever you listen to it on, that helps us get visibility so other people can hear this fantastic stuff. And we can have some finances to try to get more. What?
She
just broke my train of thought.
Yeah, our pitbull destroyed this bone wall.
But yeah, if you like and comment on our things on your preferred podcast app, that's going to help us out immensely. That's going to help us be able to do more and more cool stuff as time goes on.
And then if you also like nerdy stuff and you also like some more drinking stuff, we have two other podcasts.
We
have Name Redacted Podcast.
And
then we have
Get Drunk With Us, the drinking game show podcast.
So check out our other podcasts. I'm sure you guys have like three or four episodes
yeah,
up.
I think the fifth one didn't get posted yet. We get drunk on this podcast. It's nothing like that one.
Well, this podcast is, you know, like your evening.
Yes.
You know what to drink. And then, like, when you reach the end of this podcast,
yes.
you're going to be ready for Get
Drunk Ready to
us.
Start it. Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. So, yeah, check us out on, like I said, all social medias, and yeah, have a great night, and check out all the beers that we drank tonight.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.